Thank you, God, for just a sweet sense of your presence here in this place. Just bow your heads. We're not going to let anything distract us today. You're here because God wants you to be here. You're here because God has something to give to you. You're here because God is God, and He considers you to be His child. He says, "You're my daughter, you're my son, and I have such a wonderful, abundant life for you. And I just want you to receive it and let you know that I love you." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we're in this place. And already we've just tasted such a fresh dose of your Holy Spirit. Whoa. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're here. And there's some of us, maybe we haven't been here for a while or we haven't never been here before. We want to have an encounter with God. We need a God encounter. We need you to tell us, Lord, how deep your love runs for us. How deep is that river of your love? We get bogged down with the life that we live. We get bogged down with the things that are hard, with the things we struggle with. We get bogged down with our own attitudes sometimes and maybe our own unforgiveness. And right now as we carry on with worship, we want to lay that stuff down. Nothing's going to happen unless you take away that wall that we've built up in between us and you, God. So we invite you to do that by the power of your Holy Spirit, to just remove the barriers, remove any hindrances, anything that keeps us from you, God, any hardness of our hearts, in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are faithful and that you watch over us like a shepherd watches over his sheep. And thank you that, and this is so good, thank you, God, that we can come to you and that we can come back to you anytime. That you are always there like the Father with his arms wide open, just waiting for us to return. And some of us are just in that process today. We're just returning. We're just coming back. And we feel so sheepish, pardon the pun. We know what we've done. We know the error of our ways. And yet there you are, welcoming us home. It is good to be home. And it is so good to be in the arms of our Father. Hallelujah. Lord, this is such precious time. This is holy ground that we stand on because you're here. Not because of any other reason, but that you are here and you are holy. Thank you, God. So just, we ask today you'd quiet our hearts. And sometimes we get restless. We want to move. We want to do this or do that. We can't hardly sit. Give us a spirit we can just sit and absorb today. And I really just pray that, Lord, we need to be able to absorb. We need to just soak in your truth and the power of your Spirit in our lives. We need to stop running. Just to stop running, God. Let your peace right now just pour out over this place. We're not afraid of the silence. We worship you. We worship you, God. Father and Son, Holy Spirit, Triune God, we worship you. Hallelujah. Amen. The question that I want to just ask you this morning, and then we're going to share just some examples of that, is just a simple question. How do you know that God is faithful? How has he been faithful to you? And maybe that comes to you in a way that a prayer has been answered, or there's been something just unusual or phenomenal that's happened in your life that only God can do. Just give me one sec, Jay. I just want to introduce this. So that's just, how do you know? You know, because I think there's some people who say there's no God, and I understand that. I don't know how you can possibly believe that there's no God, but there's people who do that. It's when you say that God's not faithful, I have a harder time with that, because what you're really saying is I believe in God, but I don't think he is who he says he is. And we need each other to build each other up sometimes and just to remind each other that, as a matter of fact, God is as faithful as he says he is, and he's always in control. And even though sometimes you might go through a real deep valley, God's still there. He's still there. He is still faithful. He is still God. How do you know? Okay, we've got lots of hands. I'll start with you, Iris. And we're going to just keep these kind of short, but come on up, stand up. And how do you know that God is faithful?
I've been running for a long...
There you go. Don't talk to the wall.
I've been running for a long time because I was scared, because I know that God has a purpose for me. And I've been called a bad mother all my life and a bad person and this and that. And I didn't think that, like, why would God pick me, because I'm irresponsible. I couldn't take care of my kids and they're taken away and I had no authority or anything. And I hated myself, so I, like, who wants to hang around someone who's not happy with themselves? So I didn't want to be around anybody else either. So I went out and drank and keep on getting stoned and whatever, and running away from responsibility and people and stuff. And one day my daughter and I go out handing resumes, not thinking anything of it, because we've done it so many times before. And I go to this one place, the Dollar Tree, and I get in my resume. I'm just dressed up messy. And the woman, she says she likes my resume. She interviewed me on the spot, and I started work the next day. And he put me in a position as assistant manager. That's responsibility, money, and like authority. Yes, yeah. Authority stuff. Amen. That I couldn't possibly do on my own. The things that I was running from, you know, because God wants me to do something for him his way, and I was running away. And look what he did. He's faithful.
He is faithful. Praise God.
I just got back from Moose Jaw. I was there for a week with an extensive math course. And anyone that knows me is like, math is distant. And the first 2 days there, I've been working on career change, so it was really important to me, and I've been praying a lot. My first 2 days there, I was totally overwhelmed. People that were in my class had been estimating for years. And I didn't think I was going to make it. Tuesday, I had failing marks. Anyway, by Thursday, they told me that if I didn't get an 81 on my final, that I wasn't going to pass. And it's just been a dream of mine to move on. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I studied and I studied and I prayed and studied. And the next day, go to doing my exams. Every time I went to hand in one of my answer sheets, I just... the second one, they had to pry out of my hands. And every time I would look up, there was a coordinator from the company I work with that was grading the whole class and the instructors. And every time I looked up, he'd give me a thumbs up. So my encouragement was deeply pressed. And then I got this blueprint, and I don't know, things just became clear. I passed with an 81. And
yeah, sometimes God gives us, you know, more than we need. Sometimes he gives us just what we need. So, Jay.
I find that even when I'm at the lowest point in my life, and I've been there, God's always there to bolster me up. I mean, I wouldn't even have a place right now if it wasn't for him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's faithful. God's faithful. He is faithful. Amen. Colleen or Mary?
I just know he's faithful. I just know in here. And there can be all kinds of signs and wonderful things out there that you see he's doing. But what really, really matters is that in here, I know he's here. And he'll always be faithful to me.
Good testimony.
Throughout my life, I have had a relationship with God, but it was kind of rocky. I'd come close to him, then I'd fall away, and I would backslide, then I'd come close to him, then I'd fall away, and I would backslide. But every time I fell away, every time I backslid, he was always there with open arms, waiting to accept me back. But one of the most recent things that I find striking to me is that a few weeks ago, I prayed. I know that we're going to get a lot of snow at some point this year. And I prayed that the Lord would give the plowmen wings, speed and efficiency. And then last Thursday, I was over at Quenched with Sherry, and I saw in the paper, and I took a picture of it. Snow clearing redefined. Snow zone system allows city to better communicate plowing with residents. And I just prayed, and I thanked the Lord for that.
I don't even know what to say, so. Who else? Let's talk about the faithfulness of God. How do you know that God is faithful? And that's hard sometimes, right?
Well, I've sure learned that when we're not faithful, he's faithful. Doesn't count on us. I just want to share his faithfulness to my sister Lucy. She went into a hepatic coma last Sunday. We found her in the bathroom. She was unconscious, and she was actually in a coma when we got her to the hospital. And a hepatic means she has cirrhosis of the liver, so her liver is failing, and her body was shutting down because of the toxins in her body. And before this happened, everything that was leading up to it, I did research on it, and they said most people who enter a hepatic coma do not come out of it. It leads to death. She was out of it 2 days later. I'm not sure if you guys know what the MRSA virus is, but Lucy, my mom had it, Lucy had it. It's a virus that they have no antibiotics for, and if you have it in the hospital, they put you in quarantine. And when she was in ICU, she's had all this history, but ICU tested her, and we had prayed for her already. It came back negative twice. So that's an impossible virus, and God healed it because it's possible for him. So we don't have to gown up or glove up. So God is faithful in his healing, and all the prayers that you guys have, he's faithful to answer them according to his will and his purposes.
Hi. Most of you know that my daughter was involved in a car accident a couple weeks ago, and she lost part of her leg just above the knee. The baby was in the car with her. Crystal and I prayed outside the kitchen at Convent Park, and for the few minutes that we were praying, the machines that were hooked up to my grandson went nuts. They went haywire. And the doctors can't explain why. He was listed in critical condition. And the next day, there was no brain damage. There was no broken bones. All he had was a bump on his head. He got out of the hospital Tuesday or Wednesday. My daughter has no infection in her leg. And the company that her husband works for gave her the money to buy a prosthetic leg.
Amen. Pollen, can I get you to stand up a minute? No, I'm talking to you. Pollen, it's Pollen, right?
Yes.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot. But I'm doing it for two reasons, okay? I want people to know who you are. Because I think sometimes, and we've been kind of dealing with this a little bit with our leadership, you know, sometimes we don't get to know each other, and we don't get the opportunity, and we come to church together, but we're not really family. And I want to just let you know who this guy is, Pollin. Spell it for us.
P-O-L-I-N, Pollin.
Okay. I don't know why, but I just want—I think God wants you just to say something today.
Thank you, Pastor.
It's about God's faithfulness, or it's about your family. I don't know.
I feel at home in this place because one reason is I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Every time I hear the songs and I sing along with you, every time I hear the gospel preached by our pastor, I really enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is one of the signs that God is faithful. I've been here almost 1 month now. My family is still in Ontario. Eventually, God willing, they'll be here, because that is my prayer also, that we be here together and worship with you all together. All praise to God. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Big hand. Let's give big applause. We look forward. I look forward to the day to meet your wife and your family, and that you're able to be with her again. And God is faithful. Amen. Go ahead.
Well, so it's like this. When I woke up this morning, there was a verse going around in my mind, and it goes something like this. Well, it goes exactly like this, I hope. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I believe it's Corinthians, but maybe the first. Anyhow, that such profound poetry. You know it's divine. And everybody talks here about praying, but maybe a little word for the word. The Bible is such a great resource. Keep that in mind.
Word for the word. Word for the word. That's wild. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your gifts, for all your abundance, for everything you are, for clearing the way, for opening the way, for welcoming the way. All the way, Lord, all the way. And it's more than to answer what you need. It's carrying because you're faithful, because there's times I can't make it. Yeah. I know I can't make it. And you finish that for me. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I nearly didn't come to church today, but I just said I must be here. And I thank God that he has given me the opportunity to thank him for being there for me, for me standing here. It's because of God. I just want to thank him for his faithfulness and for his goodness in my life and in my family and everybody I know. I just want to summarize it with a song, if you don't mind. Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are kind. Lord, you are wonderful. My God, you are excellent. Excellent is your name. Excellent is your power, oh Lord. You are wonderful, my God. You are excellent, excellent, excellent is your name, Jesus. Excellent is your power, oh Lord. You are wonderful. My God, you are excellent. I just want to thank God. I had my birthday last week, and I know when I was young, even my mom would say, you know, she'll never make it to that age. And I just want to thank God for his faithfulness as well.
Hello there. My name is Nelson. I'm one of the boys that stay at Lazarus, and wasn't here last week. For the past week and a half, I've been struggling. The enemy's been trying to attack me. A week and a half ago, well, going on to 2 weeks, I lost my mom. And which is one of the biggest painful things, you know, that you can, first can get for, can go through. But, you know, when they say that the Lord is faithful, he didn't leave me. You know, he was there for me. He was backing me up, you know. And the one thing is that I'm so grateful to be in this church. I'm so grateful, you know, to have friends like Ted, Brother Ted right here, Alvin. You know, I love you all, and I know sometimes the pain is here. And you feel it, you know. But the one thing is I'll keep going. I'm going to keep going. I can only get stronger from here because the Lord, he loves me. Just like the way he loves all of us. Amen.
That's encouraging. You know what, Nelson? He's not just trying to attack you. He is attacking you. What he's trying to do is to, you know, steal your life, or he's trying to steal your allegiance. And he's never going to be able to do that. And that's why we need each other, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We stand together. You know, we stand back to back. We make sure that we protect each other with the power that God's given us. And the faithfulness of God, let that be your shield and your rampart today. Amen. Alana, what do you got in your lap there? Your baby. Pretty cute. You got anything you want to say today? That's okay. Let me say it. God is faithful, and he was faithful to you before, and he's going to continue to be faithful to you in the days to come, and you are faithful to him. You are faithful to him. Amen? Yeah. Go ahead, Mick.
Yeah, and I haven't been here for the last 3 weeks, and in the last 3 weeks, these three or four times I've woken up in the night, and I'm scared. What am I scared of? It's God. He wants me to repent because I've been hiding from him, hiding in a bottle, and he's scary. He's big, he's real, and he's here, and he's in charge. And he wants me to repent, and he wants me to put that out there, and he wants me to put it at his feet.
All right, you know what, though? So that's great, and that's exactly what he wants. I want you to know what the Bible says, that when you do repent, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you, and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So, yeah, let's pray. Thank you, God, for Mick and the boldness and the courage that it takes. We know that sometimes we fall back into those same old traps, but when we confess them, they are under our feet. Right now, under the feet. We put that enemy, we put that snake under the foot because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I pray for my brother and my friend. You're going to keep him strong, Lord, just strong for you, Jesus. And you purify his heart right now. He is clean. He is washed. He is without sin in the presence of the Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah, me too. You got another one?
I do.
This is like, let's make a deal or something. I don't know.
Sure. I know God is faithful. For 6 years ago, I cried out to the Lord when I was in a heroin addiction, and he rescued me. But it's not just that. It's that it made me clean. It didn't make me smart. And I still get myself into situations and thinking that gets me, you know, vulnerable to attack and gets me thinking of drinking. And the good Lord all so far to this day has interrupted it all the time and given me the strength to say no. And that, my friends, is his faithfulness.
Some of us, we know that old song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's see if we can sing the first verse of that. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's just stay standing. Just stay standing. And Tim, you want to come up here and just pray for the word? Would you do that? Just stay standing, because you're going to be sitting for who knows how many hours. Just pray, God. Just pray to God that his word is clear today.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Father. And I just thank you for the message that's here today. I know it really spoke to me, your faithfulness. And I know, Lord, that each one of us has days or seasons where we sometimes doubt your faithfulness. But your word says that your mercies are new every morning. And you're certainly new this morning. I'm sure many of us have been encouraged here today. I know I have been. And I just pray that you'd encourage Stan today too, Father. It's not always easy being the person that comes up here every Sunday and tries to... there's days when it's easy to put on to be happy and to be joyful and to be full of your spirit. And there's days when I think it'd be very difficult. I know I have days where I wouldn't want to have to be up here trying to share. And so I lift him up to you today. And I pray, Father, that you just give him peace as he shares what's on his heart today. And I pray that you would encourage him. He's a good pastor. He's a good friend. And I just pray for that everybody in this congregation would just be in agreement with me that we would lift him up not only this morning as he's asking to lift him up in prayer today, but that, Father, we'd lift him up this season. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that he'd go away here today too, being encouraged. And help us to take the testimonies of other people today and apply them to whatever it is we're dealing with. And remember, Lord, that you are truly faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that was great. Oh, man. Well, that was encouraging. Alvin. Why don't you come on up? There's a couple things that Alvin wants to share about the prayer meeting this later on in the month and a joint meeting, right? It's a good time to do that.
Morning. Just to let you know that we're having a healing service here this coming Saturday night. Pastor John Housing from Family of Faith Church is going to be ministering here. We're looking for musicians to join the worship team. So if you feel led in that way, you're more than welcome to come and join that night. I just sense there's some knitting of hearts together. I've been meeting with Pastor John, Pastor Tony, Pastor Jose, various pastors throughout the city, praying with them on individually or whatever the case may be. And I just sense there's unity coming, and so this can be a part of that. It's not the end of the road or anything, but definitely can be a part of that. Amen. The other thing that's just been on my heart, and I don't know about you folks, but we had a prayer meeting at the Westerner here two Wednesdays ago, and I tell you, it was so powerful. It was so powerful, brothers, so powerful. And what we have here is for all Christians, not just the chosen few, not just those that can pray, but Lord, every Christian. Because I believe the nation of Canada is under, the enemy's got his sights on this nation. And it's up to the Christians. It's not up to the politicians. I'll tell you that right now. The politicians can do so much. But I'm going to tell you, it's Jesus Christ and Him alone that's going to be able to do anything in this nation. Amen? He needs his family. He needs his family to rise up. Every one of you. Whether you can pray 20 minutes long or one sentence prayers, I tell you, it can make a difference. So we're calling all Christians to come forward. Amen. To join us. So we'll be doing some handouts here at the end of the service here. November the 26th and December 18th are the next ones. So you're more than welcome and come and join. Because I tell you, you think what's happening in Ottawa is just going to stay there? It's not. It's coming. It's a coming. But I'm telling you something else. Jesus Christ, hallelujah. The hope of glory, hallelujah. He's the one that we put our eyes on, that we fix our eyes upon. Amen? Hallelujah. So we get him involved in this equation. I tell you, the ISIS or anybody else will have no hope. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just to let you know, December 13th also, we're going to be doing an outreach, Lord willing, in Hobima, Musquechis. And we do a Christmas concert there. We started last year. So we're looking for help, encouragement, prayers for that. Okay? Next Sunday, I'm not going to be here. Praise the Lord. Oh, no, I don't mean it that way, but... You might take it that way, but no. I'm going to be in Musquechis. I'm going to be preaching the word in another church. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God's opening up the door for me. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. This past Friday, we were at Living Stones preaching the word there with my brother Nelson and David and various others. Amen? So God's opening up the doors. I tell you, brothers, if you give yourselves completely, totally to him, I'm telling you, he'll take you at your word. Amen? He'll take you at your word, and he'll put you in places. Our sister, Rosalyn, she ended up in Kona, Hawaii. Hallelujah. Because she gave herself completely to the Lord. Amen? So I encourage us all. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Amen? Got all these announcements to make in a short period of time here. Doug, come on up here, brother. We've been doing a Monday night service here, teaching with Katie Sosa. And I'm telling you, it's just been so good. I've just been blessed. Just so blessed, you know. So Doug is just going to share what the service is going to be about tomorrow night.
Thanks, Alvin. Praise God. Yeah, we've had a really good intimate time on Monday nights and listening to Katie Sosa and a healing ministry. And just encourage you to come out Monday maybe. And if you want to learn about offense. The Greek word is scandalizo. Can you say scandalizo? Very good. You know the little Victory mousetraps? They have that little thing that you put the wire on like this, and that little clipper? That's the same word in Greek. Scandalizo. Snap! You get caught in a trap. Scandalizo. It's really good. Luke 17:1 says, Jesus says, it is impossible that offenses will not come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better if he was cast into the depths of the sea with a millstone around his neck, if he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. That's the offender, but you can also take offense. So, yeah, want to learn about offense? Come on out Monday night.
All right. That was good. We don't do announcements very well, but we're all kind of figuring out what's going on. And it's any of us who are offended about that one comment about not having to be here next week. Maybe we should get together on Monday night and deal with this, okay? Yay, I don't have to come to church next Sunday. Just one quick story about the prayer meeting, and it's really all about unity. We really are seeing that God is wanting to use us as a church to build unity among other churches. And rather than see all the differences, because it's so easy to see how they're different than us or they're wackier than us. Well, maybe they're not wackier, but there's something other than us that, you know, we see the differences rather than seeing what we share in common. But at the prayer meeting, just a real quick story here, but at the prayer meeting when we all got together, and I think there are maybe 250 people at this meeting at the West, at the Harvest Center there. My wife and I, Crystal, we turned our chairs to meet with the people who were behind us, and because we were asked to meet in little circles, and we ended up meeting with there were five people there who were all from the Roman Catholic Church. So we're all sitting in a circle, which is great. That was awesome. But what happened was the people who, person who moderated the meeting, he would tell us to pray about different things, pray about the country, pray about the world situation or whatever. And so we would pray, but only me and Crystal prayed. So I would pray, then Crystal would pray, and then there'd just be this long silence. And then Crystal would pray again, and I would pray, and then we'd get into the next theme. And we did this about 3 or 4 times. And I'm not making fun of them. If you think I am, you're misunderstanding me. Wait till I get to the point here. We're about into about the fourth or the fifth subject that we were praying about. And just as we were about to pray, there's a couple of Chinese ladies there, an older Chinese lady, and she just said, stop, to me. She said, you know, this is so amazing. I have never heard anyone just pray. You guys just pray. You just pray to God. And she said, I can pray 30 Hail Marys if you want me to. She said, but you guys, you're just praying to God. You're just talking to him like he's right here, you know. And I can't do that. She said, I cannot do that. I've never done that in my whole life. I pray quietly in my own room. But I believe in God. She says, I believe in him, and I have faith in him. And we just said to her, you know what, that's just fine. And it's wonderful. You pray to God, and I hope you don't think we're dominating. We'll just pray out loud. You pray quietly. And then the next go-around, her daughter, who was maybe about 50 years old, she prayed. She'd never prayed before out loud, and she prayed out loud in that group, in that circle. And there's something cool about what happened that particular evening. You know, I felt a kinship to them, and we were grateful for the faith that was coming out of that church. People who are saying, I'm not the same as you. I admire some of the things that maybe you can do. Maybe you can teach me some things. Maybe I can learn some things as well. And that's how unity grows. Amen. I'll tell you, that was a cool. After that night, it was 9 o'clock. I drove all the way to Cranbrook because I wanted to spend a day or two with my dad. And I didn't get there till 3 a.m. But all night long, I was just going, "Wow, God, that was clearly from you. So cool." To be in a group with 5 Roman Catholics, and we're praying together, and we're holding hands, and we're encouraging each other, and we're talking about that we have faith, and it's in God. It's just in this God. Psalm 91, I'm going to read the whole thing again. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my God and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. Anyone remember that? We talked about that last week. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence, and he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I'm really praying this week for you that this is a word, as we've spent a number of weeks on this already, that this word's starting to soak into your hearts, and that your hearts are soft and you're able to absorb it. And I'm also well aware that even with some of the things that we shared today, some of you are having a hard time hearing those things. It's hard sometimes, even though we know it's true, depending on what we're going through in life, sometimes it's hard to hear other people talk about how faithful God is when your whole life seems to be unraveling. And it's sometimes hard to believe it, even though other people are testifying about it. And yet, it's still true, and we need to keep reminding ourselves of it. But I guess I'm acknowledging that I'm aware. I know that sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard to just get in there and say, yeah, that's right, God's faithful. We've talked about God's faithfulness. We were sharing about that for quite a long time already. And the verse that we're really focusing on here today is verse 4 and 5, that he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. He will cover you with his wings. He will cover you with his feathers. I'm reminded that Jesus said when he was just outside of Jerusalem one time, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he wept for Jerusalem. And he said, oh, how I wish I could gather you like a hen gathers her chicks, right? Oh, how I wish I could gather you. He just had that godly compassion, yeah, to want to put his arms around all those hurting people, all those unbelieving people, and to draw them in. And maybe even thinking at that point back to Psalm 91, where it says that God has this big wing, you know, with feathers. He just wants to, tuck us close. Just get close, right? Just get close. It smells okay, right? Yeah. Just, God is that kind of God, you know? And it says here, that's why we talked earlier about the faithfulness of God, because that's what the psalm says here, his faithfulness. You know how you're going to be saved from the fowler's net? By the faithfulness of God. That's how. That's exactly what Psalm 91 says. You want to know how you're going to get out of the trap? You want to know how you're going to get out of the pit? There's only going to be one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Only through him. And the only way that's going to happen, it's all because of one attribute of God, and that is his faithfulness. Because God is faithful. He's faithful to you. He has been faithful to you, and he will continue to be faithful to you. And like Mary says, when you've walked with him for all these years, you know it in your heart. I know he's faithful. I know he's not going to let me down. I know that he's never going to leave me or forsake me. He's always going to be with me, even if I'm going to have a baby. He's going to be there, even as I go through that hard thing and all the stuff that goes with it. He's there because he's faithful, and he's trustworthy. I mean, that's part of what faithfulness means. He's trustworthy. You can trust him. He's not going to let you down. He's never let you down before. Why do you think he's going to let you down now? You can just relax in his arms and trust him because he is faithful. And Psalm 91, the psalmist says that he is both my shield and he's my rampart. There's two, and it's a war, you know? Talking about a war, right, Nelson? Talking about being under attack. Well, this whole psalm is all about being under attack. And this is warrior terminology. He is my shield, and he is my rampart. You know what a shield is, right? His faithfulness is my shield. Not my faithfulness. His faithfulness is my shield. Because he is faithful, I am protected. And a rampart is really the wall around the city where you have a vantage point. So as you're walking around the very top of the wall of the city, the wall that protects you from your enemies, you can see, you have vision, you have a vantage point, you can make out what's going on below. Well, you can do that when you're a Christian. When you're a believer, when you're following the Father, when you have Jesus in your heart, because of his faithfulness, you've got a vantage point. You've got vision. You hear me? You got vision. You can see the enemy. Nelson, if you open your eyes, and Stan, if you open your eyes, you can see. Just look. There's the enemy. Recognize him. Point him out. Tell Ted about him. He'll pray. Right? Tell the world. Look, there's the enemy. There's the attacker. There's the arrows. Come on, guys. Get on with it here. There's a war going on. But it's his faithfulness that we need to understand. He has been faithful to you. He has been faithful to me from the very beginning. And he will continue to be faithful. And that's true even when it doesn't look like it. And every one of us has some times in our lives when it doesn't feel like it or it doesn't look like it or where we wonder if any of this is really true. It's still true. And he still remains faithful. So I just want to start with that today. And let this just kind of sink in. You know, do you get this? Are you understanding it? Are you appreciating how faithful God is? Great is thy faithfulness. From the very beginning of time to the very end, he's faithful. And one day, and I'm telling you, this is so true. One day, there's a door that's going to open, and I'm going to pass from this life to the next life. I don't know when that day is going to be. I don't think any of us do. But there's going to be a day when I'm going to pass into his faithful arms, and I'm going to spend an eternity, which is a forever, ever, 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 ever time with him. And it is only because of his faithfulness that that is true. That's all. Now, there's a dilemma with Psalm 91, and I'm going to try to be bold enough to deal with it. It would be easy to just pretend it's not there, and my inclination is to just kind of go on and say, well, let's just not deal with it. Let's just pretend no one notices this, and let's get on to the next thing. And we do that as Christians. We go on to the next thing because then we forget about the last thing. But if we're really going to be honest today, and I really want to be honest, it's that there's a dilemma in Psalm 91, and the dilemma is that it doesn't always work. I know. We can talk about Psalm 91, and it says that no harm will befall you, it says. It says that none of the arrows are ever going to, you know, they're not going to come against you. But the dilemma is that sometimes, at least they seem to. The dilemma is that there is harm that comes upon some of us, at least the way we define harm. There is harm that comes our way. And I just want to be honest about that and say I'm not always sure that I get this. I want to get this, and I really want this to be completely true, and I want to take it for face value. But it says here that no disaster will come near your tent, but there have been some disasters that have come near my tent, so I don't understand it exactly sometimes. Except that it's disaster according to the definition of the person who wrote this. And it's possible that God has a different idea for disaster than I do. What I think is a disaster, God may think that's not a disaster at all. And we hold on to this life so tightly, I don't think God holds on to this life very tightly at all. In fact, he's really ready sometimes just to welcome us home. You guys have no idea what you're looking for. I have a dog. Good segue. But I got a dog. He's not allowed, or she's not allowed downstairs in our house. She's allowed pretty much anywhere else. And I can put a leash on my dog and try to take her downstairs. Now she's like 4 years old now, and she will not go downstairs. Like, she's been trained not to go downstairs. She puts her four legs out, and I have to drag. If I want to get my dog downstairs, I got to drag her downstairs with a leash. And I think sometimes, you're wondering, why is he telling us that story? But I think sometimes that's how it is with us in death. We are just going to kick, and we're going to hold back, and I don't want death. And God's going, come on, I got something way, this is not scary. This is not scary at all. This is a safe place. I have you covered under my wings, under the feathers of my wings. Come. Right? And we got our feet just stuck into the ground. We said, oh no, oh no, no. Oh no, only this life. I know this life. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. And I totally get that because I'm the same way. But the disaster, I think the disaster that God is talking about, he says there's not going to be any disaster that comes to your tent. The only disaster in God's vocabulary is a disaster of us being separated from him. Can we agree on that? There's only one disaster. There's all kinds of other things that might happen. There are all kinds of other troubles that we might get into. There might be all kinds of other brokenness in our lives. But there's only one disaster, and that is if you don't know the Father. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. We wake up in the morning, not me so much, but some of us here, and look in the mirror and you go, my hair's a disaster. I don't do that. But, you know, your hair, that is not a disaster. Your hair might be a mess, but that's not a disaster, right? That's not a disaster. And when it says here that he's going to keep you from harm, he's going to keep you from harm, and that no disaster will come near your tent, you need to understand that it's a disaster by God's definition. And ultimately, there's a point when we read this kind of wonderful psalm like Psalm 91, there's a point where we got to stand back and go, I don't get it all. I don't understand all of this. This is not a math equation. All right? And we read it sometimes like it's a math. If I do this, and if I do this, then I will. Well, there's promises here, and clearly, let me be careful about this. Clearly, if you stay close to God, and the closer you stay under His shelter, the better you're going to be. No question about it, so don't misunderstand me today. If you make the Most High your dwelling place, that's a really good thing to do. Make sure you're doing that. But I'm also saying that even when we do that, sometimes there's hard things still in life, right? Sometimes, you know, like Cody, a little three-year-old girl passed away a couple days ago. Christian family, thousands of people praying. Harm came by. I just want to be honest and say, I don't always get it. But what I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that God is faithful. Amen. He is completely faithful. He knows everything that's going on. He knows how hurt you are. He knows how hard things are. He knows. And even when it seems like some of those arrows are getting pretty close, He's still faithful. And maybe there's just even one person here today that needs to hear that. Because we give up on God sometimes, or we question Him, or we doubt Him. I want to encourage you that no matter how hard things are that you're going through, no matter how hard they are, He is still God. He hasn't changed. Right? He's the same. Doesn't it say that in the Bible? It says that, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is faithful God. And you need to hear that. Some of you are struggling with this. I can see it in your eyes. You're struggling with it, and you're going through a really hard time. Listen to me. He's faithful. He is faithful. He's not going to drop the ball. God never drops the ball. And what I think we really need to take from Psalm 91 is more from what happened when Jesus was quoted these words. He was quoted these words from the devil. We looked at that. I'm just going to remind you of it, that when Jesus was in the desert, I think this is how we get a better interpretation of Psalm 91, because Satan said to Jesus in the desert, why don't you jump? It says you can jump. It says that He will guard you in all your ways. You can jump, and His angels will protect you, and your foot will not even hit a stone. So, you know, after 40 days of being hungry in the desert, the devil said to Jesus, just jump. Jump. Come on. Why don't you jump? It says you can. Right? Jump, Jesus. Just jump. And just prove that Psalm 91 is really true. And what did Jesus say? He said, no. He says, yeah, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. So I think what we need to learn is that as true as Psalm 91 is, we can't get stuck in any one part of it. We need to believe it. We need to hold on to it. But you know, that even Jesus didn't stand by Psalm 91 and say, okay, I'm going to just be reckless here. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I'm going to listen to the enemy. And really, the message I want to leave you today is one thing, it's about God's faithfulness, but the other thing is about the danger and the temptation that we sometimes have in our lives that we want to put God to the test. We put God to the test. We go, okay, God, let's see what you're going to do. I mean, are you going to do anything, really? Honest? I don't think you're going to do anything, God. Do you put God to the test? What does that mean? I heard a story about Psalm 91 that one guy tried to take this completely literally, and he went into a biker gang's hut, or wherever they live. Where do biker gangs live? Anyways, there's this house or clubhouse. And he thought, I'm going to take this word and I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to tell those guys exactly how they need to live. I'm going to stand on the bar and I'm going to preach to them all. And he got beaten up really badly. And, you know, he took it literally. He said, well, it says here that his angels will protect me. I won't even stub my foot against a stone. And there'll be no harm. I'm walking in here and there'll be no harm. You know, no harm. Well, he got beaten up badly. And I think that the point is that we just need to let God be God and not put God to the test. And you might think, you know, who would put God to the test? But we do that sometimes. We put God to the test. We want to see if he's going to react. Even sometimes by the ways that we live or the things that we do, it's sort of us saying, well, you know, what are you going to do about it, God? What are you going to do about it? If you think about it, from the very beginning, it's actually what the snake was saying to Adam and Eve in the garden. Why don't you just try God? Just see if he's really serious about this. It's really what the snake was saying, right? Surely, the enemy said, the serpent said, surely you will not die. You will not surely die. You know, God's not serious. Go ahead, here, have a bite. You know, that's the same Satan that said to Jesus, jump. He's the same guy that goes, here, go ahead, just take a bite. See what God will do. Why don't you just see what God will do? Try it. What's it going to, you know, God's not going to, come on. Are you guys really believing that? God's not going to do anything. God's not going to do anything. Just try him. Just test it. Let's test this out and see if it's what happens. Right? Just test it out. And we do that. We live that way. This week on Monday, got to the kitchen and heard that two people that I knew, both of them pretty well, had died from the streets. Now, they weren't from the streets, actually. They both had found housing recently. And you know how they died? They died because together they were sharing a gallon of antifreeze. I know. Sometimes, we're putting God to the test by the things that we do or the way that we live. And when we're doing that, you take that to your mouth, and you're really saying is, God's not going to do, what's God going to do anyways? What's going to happen? You know, what would God even do here? And we're putting God to the test, and like Jesus said, we ought not to test God. He tests us. He does it for the strengthening of our faith. We are not to test him, because we are not God. He is God. Do you understand that? He is sovereign. He is eternal. He made you. Kids in my wife's grade 2 class, do not ever come to her desk with a piece of paper and say, Mrs. Schalk, here is your test. That's never happened in 20 years of teaching. A grade 2 child has never come and said, I'm giving you a test today, Mrs. Schalk. And yet, you know, that's what we do with God, right? Okay, God, I'm going to test you. I'm just going to see what you're going to do, if anything. I remember when I was little, and I don't remember many stories about being little, but I remember one time I was riding my bike, and there was a white picket fence, and I thought, I'm just going to see how long I can go with my eyes closed. Even back then, I wasn't particularly bright. And I didn't make it very far before I hit the fence, and scratched at my arm and my knuckles, and I was bleeding. And that's you guys are laughing, but that's sort of what we do. You get what I'm saying, right? We I'm going to just try this. I'm going to put God to the test. I'm going to just go my own way, see if anything happens. You know what? Something is going to happen. Stop thinking nothing is going to happen. Stop thinking nothing's going to happen. Can I borrow this, Mom? This is what we do. It's you poke the bear, right? Sorry, I kicked your coffee over. But, you know, it's like we go into there's a bear and he's hibernating, and we think that's what, kind of this idea, that's kind of what God is like, and we're not sure he's going to do anything. So we live our lives this way. And by the way, it's not just people who drink antifreeze. Maybe if you're smoking, you are testing God, because we know better than that. You ought to know better than that. You're still doing it. Then really what you're doing is you're going, what are you going to do anyways about this? Or I should back up here. It's got to do with a whole bunch of other stuff too. What if it's, let me give you a couple other examples. What if you are hearing from the Holy Spirit to do something. The Holy Spirit is very clear. And he's saying, I want you to do this. I want you to go and see this person. I want you to, there's a specific task. Something that you, and you know it. You know it because you know what the voice of the Holy Spirit is. And you go, no. I believe that when we do that, we're putting God to the test. Because we may not be saying it out loud, but what we're really saying is, no. What are you going to do about it? I don't feel like it. Or here's another, here's one more example. What about the gifts that God's given you? He's given you specific gifts. Man, this is going to really come in handy. I like this thing. He has given you specific gifts. He's given you gifts that are part of the body. He's given you gifts to use. He's given you gifts that need to be put in practice. And you go, nah, I don't feel like it. What are you going to do about it anyways? Couldn't we say that that is a way of putting God to the test? That God gives us stuff, and he gives us gifts, and he expects us to use them. He says, I need these gifts in the body, and we just refuse. Isn't it true that when we refuse God, then we're really listening to what the enemy's saying when he says, surely God's not going to do anything about this. And that's really what he was saying, right? Surely you're not going to die. Surely this is, God's not. Who believes that stuff? That's what the serpent said, right? No way that's going to happen. I want you to remember that last week, remember girls, that last week, God said, surely I will save you. Surely I will save you from the fowler's snare. And this week we're hearing the enemy saying, surely you will not die. Who are you going to believe? That's the question today. And what about this? Well, it's about poking the bear. You go into the cave and you go, what are you going to, God's asleep, right? Why we think he's asleep? Because we've gotten away with this for years. I keep drinking, or I keep doing this, or I keep not using my gifts, or I don't give my money. By the way, the only way you can test God in the scriptures, the only way I've ever seen where you can actually test God is by giving away all your money. He says, test me, just try. You want to see that I won't open my storehouses and open the windows and pour all my blessings upon you? So if you really want to test God, give it all away. You're okay doing that, but that's the only thing you can do. I should give her back her cane. But, if we don't do that, I hope you understand, what we're hearing here today, that this is what we're doing. You just keep poking God. And it's the enemy. Just hear me today. It is the enemy who wants you to believe that this faithful God, who is always true to his word, that he will do nothing, that he will remain hibernated in the cave, when that couldn't be further from the truth. Right? Couldn't be further from the truth. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. What it means is, sometimes we got to stand back, and I'm just telling you the truth here today. Sometimes I stand back and I go, God, I don't get it all. I really don't. I don't understand all of this. I don't understand this puzzle of life all the time. I don't know why this happens to Lucy or to little Sarah. I don't know why 50 people were killed by Boko Haram in Nigeria, in Iraq by ISIS this week. I don't get that. I don't know why. These are Christians. These are believers. So God, I can't always put this together, but I will put my trust. I'll put my faith in you. You are faithful. And you love me. And this is not a math equation. This is a relationship that I have with my Father through Jesus. I want to encourage you with that today. I just want to encourage you so much. I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much And you don't need to put him to the test. He just wants you to be his and be obedient and to be holy. And if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this, maybe it's not making a lot of sense. So I want to just put it in one last little analogy for you today. That, you know, when you belong to Christ, and it's really not a hard thing to do, all we need to do is believe, the Word says. We need to just open our hearts to Him and ask Him to come in. Listen, when you belong to Christ, when you ask Jesus into your heart, He takes control of your life. He shows you how faithful He is. He shows you the width of His feathers, and He wraps them around you when you give your life to Him. And it's so much greater than anything that this world could ever offer. Amen? Gonna get an amen there? Yeah? Somehow I think the cheer should have been just way more rambunctious, but yeah, there we go. I mean, it's true, right? I was thinking about it this week, and I was just thinking about that. If you don't know Christ, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never given your life to the faithful one, the only thing you get at the end of life, the only thing you get at the end of this life is a box. Now, having said that, you get your choice. So you do. You can have either the big box or you get the little box. But that's all you get at the end of life. You get either the big one that's 6 feet long or you get the little one that sits on the shelf that you hope never falls down and spills on the carpet. But with Christ, now hear me today, you get a life that is right now abundant. You get a life that is right now free. You get a life that is right now going to begin today and it's going to go on for eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. So listen to Him today. It's not hard to do. You need to give your life to Christ. He's calling you. He's saying, I am faithful. I made you. I am your Father. You know, I am your Father. Why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to me? Is there anyone here today that wants to come to Jesus today? Put your hand up. Is there anyone here today? You want to come? Amen. Come on up here. Come on up here. Anyone else? James? Yeah, it's time for a new start, right, buddy? Anyone else? It's time. It's time. We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Come on up. There you go, girlie. Come here. Get under here. God loves you, man. Rob? I'm sorry. I know you are. Thank you. I know. Robert? Anyone else? We're not going to rush through this, but it's time to come to Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I know. Hello, son. Hi. Are you ready for this? Ready to come to Jesus? Yeah, Barry? Amen. Thank you, God. Will you pray with me? God, you are amazing, God. We give our lives to you. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me for my sins. I want to walk in victory. I want to follow you, Jesus. I give you. You take control. I am a follower. Amen, amen. Pray for these people right now. I thank you for your courage to come forward. I pray that you will fill them right now with the power of your Spirit. I thank you. You said here, there's forgiveness. And there's a new beginning. The same for what Mick said. Lord, that we're coming into your place. We're coming to know you. Hallelujah. Thank you that we have so much more than a box to look forward to. We have an eternal life living with you in the presence of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all say amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Is God good? Yeah. Amen. You probably didn't hear that, but Marilise was saying that there are thousands of angels singing in heaven to God right now, and they're singing glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I keep doing that. Keep losing stuff. We're gonna stand. Let's sing this song as we conclude our service. It's a song really based on Psalm 91. You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. From whom trouble may steal. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of the angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of the angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of the angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against us shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Amen. Amen. Remember that you belong to God. Remember that he's faithful. You know, it says in Timothy that he, even when we are not faithful, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his abundant and everlasting peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go out in the victory.
You hear me when I call. You are my mom.